Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Light heavyweight and heavyweight champion of Bellator, Ryan Bader, joins the show once again. So buckle up, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe it, Bellator?
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch of free throws, because they're free. So 266. Coming hot at you guys in so 265. And I'm joined on this one by defense and offensive coordinators Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos and Nikki Snacks Kleida. In an awesome show with a returning guest, Ryan Bader joins the boys. We met him down in Radio Row in Miami. And we're here to speak about his upcoming title defense in the light heavyweight division at Bellator this Friday. So get excited. Without further ado, the Charity Stripe team with Ryan Bader. All right, we got him back on the show. You heard him on our show on Radio Row. We got the double champ of Bellator, which is still crazy to me, man. I can't believe you're light heavyweight champ and heavyweight champ going back and forth between divisions. He's fighting this Friday, defending his light heavyweight championship. We have Ryan Darth Bader joining the show, which is arguably the best nickname. So simple, so quick. We love it. Welcome back, man.
Thank you. Better than Master also.
Yes.
Has that always been your nickname, like growing up as a kid too?
Master Bader?
Oh, no. Darth Bader.
That's great.
But I'm sure you got Master Bader too, yeah?
It was the other one, Master Bader, more often than not, you know.
I feel like no, I feel Darth like who would say that to you though? I would never call you. I would be like, yeah, hey, I would avoid that.
I'm telling you, like, kids like in fourth grade were even onto that, you know. So Darth came funny. About kind of in my wrestling days. There's a guy that would always call me that when we were wrestling at ASU, and kinda went to an MMA gym and they started calling me that, so it kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Darth. Man.
Yeah.
It's
Darth stuck.
It's great, man. You're fighting Vadim Nemkov Friday, light heavyweight championship. You were supposed to fight him in May. Now you're fighting him in August. what's that preparation like? Can you over prepare for a situation like this? That's like my thought process now. I'm pretty curious about that. And like the level of it, because you're anticipating a fight coming up when we spoke to you last. And how has that anticipation grown?
Yeah, well, I've had some, you know, ranches thrown in there, obviously with COVID. It got canceled. I was supposed to fight Nemkov at 205 pounds in May. And then they couldn't get, Russians couldn't get in for a while. And so we were kind of, Bellator also was like, hey, looking like we're going to do heavyweight, you know? And so preparation is, I didn't know who I was fighting, let alone what weight class, you know? And then you can definitely over prepare. If we have a kind of a strict camp, you know, that we follow where we feel good at the end, you scale back, you recover. And if you don't know the date, you know, you just kind of, you're just going too hard all the time. So we, you know, we were training for May, halfway through camp that got pulled back. And then we're thinking end of June, end of July, that didn't happen. And so we would take breaks and we would kind of regulate that I wasn't doing too much. And then probably like 4 weeks ago, I just found out that I was fighting light heavyweight, you know. They could get him in, and they flew him in just in time because Russia just put a ban on flying to the U.S. and vice versa, I guess. And so I'm just glad we're here.
Yeah, man. And you've fought his mentor previously, recently, Emelianenko. And he's obviously a legend. So how does that factor into the whole thing? Like the fighting style, you know, obviously he's fought you, but it's a different weight class. They're two different completely fighters. You know, is that how often is that even happening where, you know, your mentors fought somebody and they're passing down that knowledge? Is that a common thing in mixed martial arts?
No, you know, I fought like the Nogueira brothers and stuff like that. But, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't matter to me. And that's been kind of a big thing that the media has been asking, like, oh, he's avenging his mentor and all that, but he can't bring him in. It's not tag team wrestling, you know. And the thing is too, Fedor and I didn't even have a chance to, you know, it was a one punch knockout, 35 seconds, so he couldn't really take anything away from that other than, you know, I hit hard and I'm fast, you know. We didn't get any clinch, we didn't grapple at all, he couldn't feel how strong I was. So I mean, what really can you take back besides he was fighting me, so he did his homework, you know, and he could pass that on to Nemkov, but that's about it.
Yeah, he's got no experience really in the ring with you. That thing was over. Yeah. I watched it today. It was like I didn't have time to like brush my teeth in the middle, you know, so it was over before it started. Yeah, man. So what's like the level of prep between heavyweight and light heavyweight like for you? Like how different is your fighting style going into each?
Fighting style, not really. It, you know, that all depends on the opponent. It's just really weight. You know, I was 235, you know, 5 weeks ago, whatever. And now, you know, I got to get down to 205. So I'm sitting really good right now. And so I had to be definitely more strict, which is good. You know, in my eating habits, I have to, you know, eat less and train my body. You know, this is what we're running on right now. But I get in really good shape. And eating that healthy, you know, heavyweight, I'll eat healthy, but if I want to have something, I'm like, all right, I'm a heavyweight, whatever. You know, 205, I've been really strict the last 4 weeks, and you know, you can see in my physique, I feel good, feel super fast, I feel ready. So, you know, and my weight's good, so I'm liking this 205.
Yeah, do you prefer to fight down at light heavyweight?
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Don't want to get you in trouble, but yeah, just figured I'd ask.
At heavyweight, it's fun. I don't have to worry about cutting weight or anything like that. I have to worry about really how big I get in between fights. I get to enjoy it a little more, but I do like the discipline that 205 brings.
Mm-hmm. And on the subject of weight, there's a thing that came to light and on you over on the other brand at UFC this past weekend was somebody came in overweight and they lost 20% of their paycheck to the opponent. That's happened to you before. How is there like a level of frustration within the I didn't even know that was like a thing. Is there like a level of frustration within the fighters that the other guy doesn't make weight even if you do get 20% of his cut?
Yeah, I mean especially if a guy that doesn't have a good contract and you're getting 20% of a cut of a guy that's not making shit. I mean, you're kind of pissed, especially if he's a good amount over. The one time it happened to me was a Rampage, you know, Rampage had a good purse. So, you know, they came in, they're like, hey, Rampage is 212. He's supposed to make 205 and plus a pound, you know. I'm like, 212. He's like, can he get down a little more? They're like, he said he can't. And then they're like, you know, where you get 20% of his purse, $50,000. I'm like, all right, cool, let's go.
So yeah,
if you're getting $4,000 and he's freaking that much over, that would suck. But you know, for that's the only time it happened to me. But yeah, I mean, I've never missed weight in my life, wrestling or anything, MMA. So discipline and just get it done. And I get, you know, shit happens sometimes, right? But you gotta be a professional about it.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a go-to food that like is like your secret trick that like you can always eat and like be able to cut down on?
Asking for a friend.
I love bananas. Are easy to eat.
Put bananas on the grocery list.
Bananas and sweet potato is a big thing for me. Especially fight week, you know, day of the fight, you got a lot of emotions going through you. You got some nerves going and it's hard to eat, but if you get sweet potatoes where you can just kind of shove them in and get them down, they're great food to sustain you. And that's my food, probably sweet potato.
Nice. Yeah, you'll check in with us in like a couple weeks and you'll have seen me like orange because I've just been eating sweet potatoes and bananas. Like, why are you having a sweet potato for breakfast, dude? It's like Bader told me to do it. Gotta obey the dark side.
Ryan, how has just training, you know, with quarantine and all that stuff, how has that changed for you? I mean, personnel, like, has that been cut down? Are you just working with one guy? How in comparison to before?
Yeah. Luckily we have our own building it's not open to public. It's not open to the regular public. So we did cut down a lot of the team, you know, and kind of ran a skeleton crew of good guys. So I probably had, you know, four guys around me. And that's about it. You know, it's what I needed. And we were able to get all the work done that I usually do get done. You know, I usually bring in guys like throughout camp and did not, you know, in this camp, but I was fighting a guy that my partners could pretty much emulate anyway. Right. So it wasn't too bad. Pretty much the same. Besides that, we were able to get our work in.
Mm-hmm. And then do you feel like a responsibility, and feel free to pass this question, it's personal, but do you feel like a responsibility to like get people involved, you know, with your camp and give them opportunities to work with you? I mean, because you're in championship fights all the time. Right, you're the main guy in Bellator in two-weight classes, so pretty much the main guy overall. So do you feel like you have a responsibility to get guys involved, and when you can't do something like that in a COVID situation, does that kind of weigh on you a little bit? Is it frustrating?
No, I mean, because I bring in different guys all the time, and it depends on who you're fighting, right? And, you know, I bring in guys and I pay them too, you know, and so I'm usually guys from Brazil. Brazilian coach, and he has the connection down there, and he usually has a guy emulate my opponent pretty well. So, you know, it's just, you know, part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business just like anything else, you know. If I need a guy come up to Brazil for 2 weeks, I pay him a certain amount of week, and they come out and give me the work I need and go home, or, you know, if I have them in my corner or whatnot. But I definitely would have liked to have some guys out, but we did perfectly fine without it.
Mm-hmm. And how much within your camp and training, how much of the emulation is a part of the process? How much are you fighting, and is that guy trying to recreate Nemco's style as much as he can? Is that a major aspect?
Yeah, and a lot of the drilling too. If you're doing like, you know, drilling and pads, I think that's a huge aspect that a lot of people overlook. They just hit pads, you know. We're drilling certain techniques of like, all right, he's going to do this, how are we responding, you know, and we drill that over and over again and watch a lot of video and all that kind of stuff. So it's a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to look for tendencies? Because we watched a video on John Jones, who you've fought before, and he was talking about how he like literally memorizes patterns, you know, and is like where they're shooting from in the cage. Is that like a big part of your process as well?
Yeah, definitely. You want to see what their go-to techniques are, how they respond to different things. And like my fight, like we were talking about with Fedor, you know, we knew he kept his right hand down and kind of always went to his right a little bit or back up. And we we drilled that and drilled that. We drilled that in the back and went out there and executed it perfectly. So that's a big part of it, and that's what you look for, really.
Yeah, I mean, you caught him on the back foot with that left hook, the front left hook.
Yeah. You know, knowing his hands were going to be down, knowing he was kind of going to be out that way, and also knowing, you know, where was that line when he was going to rush me. So I found that line. I'm like, all right, you know, you can just tell he's tensing up, ready to throw. I'm like, I can't go past that or he's going to throw. So I went up to that line and threw that, fainting first, and threw that, and it connected perfectly.
It's pretty quick into the fight. So, like,
yeah, I have a question for that real quick. With those quick knockouts, like we see it all the time, you know, every once in a while, you know, do you ever feel like, wow, like I trained so much and like it just, it didn't last that long? And like,
I used to, but not anymore. Anytime you go in there and get a quick knockout, you know, and
it feels good, yeah.
Five round fights, you know, I want to get out there as soon as possible. I don't want to fight five rounds if I don't have to. I will and I can, but if I can get in there and get a knockout, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Not big twice about it.
Do you have, I mean, obviously the strategy is different between five and three rounds. I've heard of guys, I heard like DC threw, they said DC usually throws a third round. Is that like something that you consider, like to kind of just hold your weight on a guy and kind of just take a lax round to kind of get recuperated? Or is that like is that too risky of a strategy? It seemed like risky to me, honestly.
It's kind of risky. And then, you know, I kind of take it minute by minute, round by round. And so you're just trying to win whatever situation you're in at that, you know, in the moment, right? And those add up to a round win. And then they add up to, you know, a couple rounds, then they add up to three, and then the win for the five round fight. I don't think like actively trying to take one off. There could be times when you're like, all right, I need to move around. I need to establish my jab, take a little breather if I can, or get this guy down and take a breather then. Maybe in that aspect, but as far as like mentally knowing I'm going to take a round off now.
How was the transition? I think we probably have spoken about this before, but the transition from wrestling to fighting is two different sports. And many people see that as, I mean, I know, you know, but many people from the outside looking in see like the easy, like transition, you know, whereas like they go basketball to baseball is hard, but to me, it's the same thing. It's totally two different ball games. So how was that transition like for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that overlap though, you know, and definitely at the beginning when I went out there first couple fights and I was fighting, I was using my wrestling, you know, I was striking for freaking 2 months before that, you know, and so I went out there and, you know, took the guy down, and right when I grabbed him, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, this is a different level. Meaning I've been used to grappling and wrestling Division I, you know, studs and athletes the whole time. And when I grab a guy that is like 1-1 in MMA, it's totally different. I felt like I was fighting my little brother or something, you know? And that lasts for a certain while. So in these lower level fights, demolishing people just with wrestling. And then you get to the point where you're in the bigger leagues, UFC, Bellator, whatnot, and you're fighting guys that are good, that can wrestle, that can strike, do jiu-jitsu. And so you have to obviously grow. And my first big fight was like Keith Jardine. I was like, do I belong at this level? You know, I have no idea. He just beat Chuck Liddell, all that. And I went out there, and first couple punches he threw at me, I was like, okay, I'm good. I can beat this dude. Ended up knocking him out. You know, so a lot transfers over, but you got to put in the work in your striking and your jiu-jitsu and everything else. Because you can rely on wrestling for a while, but get to the top where you want to be, you're going to need everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And clearly what you're talking about, the mental aspects of it, like the studying the tendencies in the film. I think like, you know, from an outside looking in perspective, like everyone talks about that in the NFL, right? That a quarterback is looking at game film, but it's not something that's often talked about for just general sports fans in regards to, you know, Bellator or UFC, or just martial arts sports in general. And I think that, I don't know, it's really cool to hear you talk about that, because obviously, like, you think about it, it makes so much sense. Like, why would you not, like, you're fighting one guy, you got one guy in front of you for the next fight.
Yeah.
You want to know
tendencies is everything, you know, and it's even, you know, if I see a guy, like, potentially this guy I'm fighting, like, he gets tired, you know, and he doesn't go to three rounds a lot, never been to five rounds, you know, and after every round, he's like, he's on the canvas kind of getting his breath, you know, that kind of like, all right, I know he's going to come out hard, but I keep this pace on him and he's going to, you know, fold up at a certain point. you know, little stuff like that, regardless of technique and regardless of everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
And do you watch every single one of your opponent's fights before?
No. I don't usually watch a ton of it. I'll watch his last like 3-4 fights, probably 2 times, 3 times. And then my coach is watching him all the time, and he's watching everything, anything you can find on social media, you know, spying on him, watching the fights, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the confusing agent. Thing, I was talking to Josh about this earlier, but I was like, I feel like it's so hard to keep track of these Eastern European names. I mean, like, my last name is Tsopoulos, but like, if you had to fight me and then you had to fight Papadopoulos and then you had to fight like Katsouris, I wouldn't know who the hell I was fighting either. It's like some of these guys, I feel like, do they end up like kind of blending together because just names are just hard to keep track of?
Oh, 100%. And the guy that I'm fighting too, you know, he's fought in Europe. He, you know, fought a couple times in Bellator over in the States, but you know, he's not relatively known, you know, and hugely popular. But he's very, very tough, you know. He's definitely earned the top contendership here, beating 3 former champions, all that kind of stuff. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. How does the return? It's like a big return for Bellator. So what does this mean for your guys' brand? How do you feel about no fans? Is that like something that's weighing on you at all, or you don't really give a shit?
Yeah. To be honest, I just wanted something to happen, you know, and you never know what's going to happen around the corner. You know, next month they could say, hey, there's no more live anything. And you could be waiting for another 6 months to fight, you know. And I've been through training camp since freaking February, you know. And so for me, I'm just glad it's here. And the no fan things, I'm actually kind of enjoying it, or going to enjoy it, because it takes away that added like hoopla from it. Less stress. You go out there, you're calm, relaxed. That's when I fight my best. And go out there and just do your thing, you know. And yeah. Everything about this week is a little more low key, and so it's kind of nice. It's different. I did it on the Ultimate Fighter, and look forward to something different.
Yeah, and probably be nice to, you know, have some time with the family and put this behind you as well, and just, you know, focus on that when this is up.
Yeah, go out there, you know, get paid. And I know a lot of people at this time, you know, losing jobs and having a hard time. You know, that sucks. And we're fortunate enough to go out there and do what we love to do and be able to make money. So that's a big thing too, is like that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And I'm just glad we're here at Fight Week. He got into the country, all that kind of stuff.
Would you say this is an older man's sport, or like quote unquote? I mean, obviously you're 37, right? Would you say though that it's like, it kind of benefits, you know, the more seasoned you are in the sport? Is that fair to say?
I would say kind of with the bigger guys, you know, you see a lot of the heavyweights and you know, 205ers are a little older and doing better at age. You know, you have guys in the UFC like Stipe and Cormier. Cormier is, what, 41 years old? You know, Stipe's 39 or whatnot. And a lot of heavyweights are in their 40s. The younger guys, I feel like the younger you are, it's better. But experience, you know, I barely got comfortable, you know, fighting probably freaking 4 years ago, you know, where I can be in there and be like, I feel competent in all areas, basically. And so that's a huge thing, being through a lot, going through all these different fights, 5 rounds, 3 rounds, 15-second fights, you know, it all adds up.
Yeah, man, totally. Totally, totally, totally. I mean, it's just, you also have to get comfortable with the craft and in your own body. I mean, people are learning martial arts for their whole lives. You know, you hit like a certain, you hit a certain point in football, like you can throw the football. Can you catch or not? Are you fast or you're not? You know? But people are learning this art their whole lives.
Yeah, with fighting, there's endless techniques that you can learn.
Yeah, and in your mind too, and like mentality going in there. I remember when I fought Rashad Evans, it was the first time where it opened up and I can see everything. You know, rather than fighting on emotion and fighting like, oh, what happened, I blacked out kind of deal. You know, and that's where you kind of used to fight for 14 fights in, you know. And so it's nice to be able to calm down, see everything and relax and be able to think.
How does time move in there for you? Is it quick, or is it just normal? Because to us, I'm, you know, outside looking in, these leg kicks are flying and these jabs, I'm like, oh my God, dude, I can't look down to grab a bite of my noodles. you know, on Saturday night, because like I'll miss like three punches, you know. It's quick.
Yeah, sometimes it does go slow, you know, and especially a 5-round fight, you're like, is this ever gonna end kind of deal? And then by the time you realize it, you know, you're in the fifth round and there's 3 minutes left, and then all of a sudden it's done. You're like, oh, finally, you know. But it does go slow. But you're in the moment too, you know. So sometimes it could kind of, you know, it speeds up a little bit, but usually it's kind of feels like it's slow.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And Ryan, Toss.
I was just gonna ask, have you been watching any other sports now that the rest of them are kind of getting started as well?
I usually only really watch football. Yeah. You know, I don't watch basketball at all. I don't really watch baseball. I used to as a kid, but so not really, to be honest. Watching a little MMA, but I haven't been watching too many sports really.
Nice. Productive. Unlike us.
Diving into any TV shows or movies or?
Yeah, I mean, in camp, you know, I probably went through all the Netflix shows, you know, and it's just, I ran out of shows right now, but it's one of those things where I'm training hard. I'm usually, you know, laying down in bed like 8:30. We'll watch a couple TV shows and then, you know, I'm exhausted from training. So then I'm out. But yeah, I mean, doing that, I've got three kids, and so they're back in virtual school. So that takes up the time and all that.
Yeah, man, virtual school's crazy.
It's so nuts.
It's nuts. My mom's a teacher. I can't believe it.
Yeah, both me and Josh's moms are teachers, and we hear the horror stories already.
Yeah.
We got three different assignments for all of them.
That's
chaos,
man. But we'll get past it. We're going to let you rock and roll shortly because you know you have another show to go to. But we always ask our guests the same question. What is your favorite sports memory? Could be you watching, playing, anything your whole life.
I actually have two, and they're two different times in my life. One is in high school. We very good football team in Nevada. We won state in football. I was a middle linebacker, and we blew everybody out, undefeated all season, you know, won the state championship 35-0, beat both Vegas schools and two Northern schools, you know, went at it for state. I ended up getting defensive player of the year, our running back got offensive player of the year. And it was just a cool time. I almost wanted to go play football. I was like, man, I want to play football now in college. It wasn't overly big though. Anyway, I chose wrestling. And then, the other one was beating Fedor. You know, I was a light heavyweight champion, ran through the heavyweight Grand Prix, was fighting Fedor and Idol for second belt. You know, and it's Fedor Emelianenko, you know, a guy that I looked up to and idolized, and go out there and knock him out in 30 seconds in front of friends and family, become a two division champion. So you can't really beat that.
Must've been like that punch connecting must've been so surreal. Like, was it out of body bit?
Yeah. When he fell down, I was like, no way is that happening like that right now.
Yeah.
And then I fucked up and it was done. You know, when that ref waves it off, the fight's done no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm done. Like, this whole tournament, this whole year, I'm done. And I won it. And I'm two division champion. It was pretty special.
Oh, yeah. When they go like that, it has to be like the best feeling. Yeah. Best feeling ever. Bader, man, love having you on. Go check him out. DAZN, Paramount Network, 10 p.m. Eastern. He's fighting, defending his light heavyweight championship. We're pulling for you, man. We got you, brother.
Guys, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, man.
Go get him. Awesome, down-to-earth guy. Loved him in Miami, so no qualms, obviously. Super talkative, responsive, great interview, and just an all-around good dude. And we're wishing him the best. We're pulling for him. We'll be watching this Friday. You guys better tune in as well to pull for our man. We didn't talk about him saying that Toss could last a minute in the ring with him, which I still think is impossible. I think he'd get mauled in under 20 seconds. Assuming they didn't know each other, you know, it was just like a fight, like a normal fight for him, not knowing it was Toss. But yeah, we didn't get to that. But other than that, awesome show. And we have some sponsors this week. We have Opa Seasonings. Yep, Opa Seasonings, our favorite sponsor. Go to opafoods.com. Use the code thecharitystripe. Get 10% off all the seasonings you get at Opa Foods with code thecharitystripe. And we have another one. That's right. Get pumped. Get excited because Bet Online is back. Did somebody say playoffs? The NBA, MLB, and NHL are in full swing, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. So take full advantage of sports being back and get in on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes, people. Go. Good luck there. So head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Yep. Bet Online, Opa Seasonings, the Ryan Darth Bader. Awesome show, guys. Thanks for tuning in. To the fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.